services, man, it'll do something. It'll do something for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. If I was going to title the sermon, it'd be part two of Every Need Supplied. And I was thinking I was going to go another direction, but the Lord just kept dealing with me, and I said, whatever you want, Lord. And of course, we'll have Brother Michael Vickers will be in service with us Sunday. And I've never did it before, but I was watching. But I have a desire for God to bring other anointings in the house. I have for a lot of years. And so, anyways, I was watching these five ministers that was ministering at a church up in Coleman Sunday night, was 2 weeks ago. Well, I started to turn it off about the third one, and I thought, well, I'll keep listening. So I kept listening and got down to him. And he talked a few minutes, and then he started telling a story. When he started telling that story, the Lord spoke to me, and he said, I want him to come minister. And I said, yes, sir. And so I immediately just went down and sent a message to the church, you know, and to get me in contact with the guy. And so that's how all of that ended up. First time I've ever did it, not meet anybody, and asked him to come and minister and all that. But how many knows the Holy Spirit knows everything? He knows everything, so I'm looking forward to that. Praise God. How many knows that God wants your every need supplied? Hallelujah. But it's already been done. Jesus said it's finished. I mean, he took our sin. He took all of our oppression. He took all of the pain. He took all of the poverty. You know, he took all of that on himself. The Bible says that Jesus became poor that we might be made rich. Hallelujah. He took poverty on him. He took all of that on him. And it's all supplied in the spirit realm. And everything that we need is in Jesus Christ. It's in him. Hallelujah. Travis made this statement the other day. He said the blessings already on God's people. We was talking about God's people. And he said, it's already on him. I told him, yeah, the life of Jesus is blessed. Now you've got to walk with God. I mean, you got to walk with him and learn to lean on him. And if you're like me, and even if you're not like me, once you get born again, I don't care how old you are, you must renew your mind to God's word. The more that you renew your mind to God's word, the more you will walk in the fullness of God. You'll begin to find out things in the Bible, you know, that God has already written before you was even here or thought about that he had for you in the Word of God, that he would quicken to you once you submitted and started following him. And one of the things that I learned right off the bat, you know, is, and God will keep you in check and all this stuff. I can't balance you. I don't have the ability to balance you, but God does. He'll keep you balanced in walking with him. But one of the things that I found out early, because I wanted to prosper before I got saved. That's why I was work hours and, you know, and try to do my own business and all that stuff. But I realized after I got born again that we was created in the image and likeness of God by creation. Everybody was created in his image and in his likeness, like him. Until we identify with that, we can't have that till we accept Jesus. But if I found out pretty early off that God wanted to prosper his people, that he wanted to prosper me, you know, and as I begin to get in God's word, my mind began to get renewed to that. That's my point. And God quickly hooked me up with people that some of the churches that I'd go to or whatever, you know, they wasn't too big on this renew your mind. I never really heard it, to be honest with you, out of any Christian that I could think of before I got born again. But I began to hear ministers, you know, say, you need to renew your mind. Be not conformed to this world. They'd read that, you know, And God took me to Joshua 1:8 while I was reading Joshua there at verse 8, he told Joshua, which was fixing to take up the mask of the task of Moses, but he told him, he said, take my word, he said, and meditate it on it day and night. He said, then you will make your way prosperous. And it stuck out to me that it didn't say God would make him prosperous. That stuck out to me. And I said, God, I said, it didn't say you would make him prosperous. Because I'm thinking, you can't do nothing without God. Without Jesus, we can do nothing, you know. And see, I didn't have any, my mind couldn't figure that out, you know, that he said that. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I was with Joshua. He said, I'm with you. I'm in you. And then I thought, glory to God. God's telling me through the Bible right here that if I will take the Word of God and meditate. So I got Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And praise God. And then I thought, well, he had commandments for them. I thought, Lord, you had commandments for them. They had rituals. They had different things to do, you know. And the Lord said, he said, I said, if you will hearken to my voice, do all that I command you. I'm not commanding you what they did. And I thought, at that time, all I knew the Lord wanted me to do was go to church and try to be a good husband. That's all I knew. And so I started doing that. I started going to church, praise the Lord. I thought, I'm hearkening to the voice of the Lord my God. I know He wants me to go to church. That's the first thing that I knew was the will of God in my life, is to go to church. I mean, I learned that not by the Word. I didn't really know the Word. But I learned that by the Spirit of God, I had a hunger to go to the house of the Lord. I just knew that was God's will. And so I'm doing that. Boy, and I'm taking that word. Put that up there, Beth, Deuteronomy 28. See, God was going to bring, He was supplying my spiritual needs right then. God's supplying your spiritual need. There's no lack in the spirit for you to be spiritually lacking or new or whatever, I don't know, malnutrition. That's right, deprived of spiritual food. Nope. No, sir. You got to feed. You got to renew your mind to the Word of God, and God will begin to lead you and direct you, and God will begin to take your life in the direction that He had planned for you all along. And I mean, if you look at the children of Israel, God took them out of bondage. If you was ever you've been in bondage. Everybody born into sin. Everybody's born into bondage in the kingdom of darkness. The way out of that, we know, is Jesus Christ accepting that sacrifice. He transfers us over into the kingdom of His dear Son. But He says here, and it shall come to pass, if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commands, whatever He's telling you. God don't hold His people responsible for what they really don't know. He does not. But once you come to knowing, I call it, I got convincing that I am blessed before I ever got anything, really. The Word began to renew my mind, and it began to convince me that I didn't have to be broke, I didn't have to be weak spiritually, I didn't have to have a lack of faith, I didn't have to have a lack of joy, I didn't have to have a lack of peace. The Word began to, Jesus said, my peace I'll leave with you. He didn't say I'll drop it to you every now and then. Right? He said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. I renewed my mind to that. That's how come I can quote it to you. I renewed my mind and I thought, I've got the peace of God. I've got the peace of God. Now everything can be in turmoil around you and everything look like it's going the wrong way, and you can abide in that peace. But that's your choice. Renew your mind and say, I'm going to be led forth by peace. The Bible says it in Isaiah that we will be led forth by peace. Well, I took this right here. And it says that if you will hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do all His commands, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set you. Woo! The Bible says you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's already set you on high. You hear me? You're not trying to get there. You're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where's He at? Afar above all principalities, all powers, right? His name is above every name. Poverty. His authority is above every name. Let me just say it different. We are in His name. We are in His authority. We've been given His authority to operate over poverty, over lack, over oppression, over sickness, over disease. And we must renew our minds to it and then say it out of our mouth. I don't call myself ever broke if I don't got no money. Never. The Bible says, let me go on here. I'm getting ahead of myself. This is good. I'm staying with my sermon, not move. Hallelujah, that's great. He says, the Lord will set you on high above all nations. Or all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if thou will hearken to. All you got to do is listen to Him. Now, you know, it might seem like a small, minute thing, but I don't know how much a key costs, but I don't know, 10, 15, 20. I don't really know what it cost. But we didn't need to buy one. We had one. And she had, and the Lord told her to go dust. Right? That's what she said. Well, yeah. Yeah, well, okay. All right. But anyways, the dusting got the key. Right? That dusting got the key. Me and Mike, we're sitting eating lunch, eating breakfast. I ate breakfast with him this morning, fellowship with him a little while. Sitting there, and all of a sudden, this lady, about an hour or so into us, sitting there and eat breakfast and all that. And this lady starts by, and she just stops and turns to the table. And she said, I'm here to pick up my birthday breakfast. I don't really know what, something about her birthday. So I looked at her and I said, do what? Like that. And she said, I'm here to get my birthday present. I just jumped up spontaneously. I just jumped up and went around and whooped my wallet out and give her an offering. I said, here, let me buy your birthday. Like that, you know. And she just goes, whoo! I said, yeah, have a happy birthday. And I just went and sat down and forgot all about it. About that part. Well, I looked at him. I said, that was a little weird, wasn't it? He said, yeah, that was a little weird. I said, yeah. And so anyways, we go on, you know, and I get back there and I'm paying for our breakfast and everything. Everybody, he done gone and all that. Sitting there, you know, and I asked that lady, I said, hey, who was that lady? Come through there just out of nowhere, you know. I said, she a regular here? And she said, that black lady? And I said, yeah, that black lady. She said, I ain't never seen her before. I said, oh, really? No, I don't know. Where. I said, where'd she go? And she said, I don't know. She just like disappeared. I said, well, I said, that's a little strange, ain't it? I really did think that she might be a little strange. I said, well, you know, the Bible says that we beware lest we entertain angels unaware. I said, so possibly it could have been an angel. And she looked at me and she said, it might have been, reckon? I said, I don't know. And I left out and I thought, I believe it was, Lord. Hallelujah, praise God. And Michael, he said, man, God just popped you an opportunity up, didn't he? I said, he did. Hallelujah. So I give God that. Whatever you but do to one of those, but you know what? That's one of the keys to prospering, is you will be obedient to what you're feeling on the inside. I ain't got to hear a big, strong, audible, and fast about it 3 days now, whether I'm supposed to give or not. See, as you walk with God, the more you walk with Him, and it's not about time now. I mean, it don't take a long time for you to develop an ear for the Holy Spirit or prompting or Sunday school, get you a Sunday school. That was really good on the Holy Spirit, you know. I told her when I got home, I said, I'm learning from you. She kind of looked, you know, and I might amaze her or not. She shouldn't be. She's under a gift, under a calling. She has something for me, right? Although I'm her husband and I've been in the ministry 30 years and you know, and all of that stuff, you know, ain't got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with whether I hook into what Jesus is saying or not. Whether it's kind of like I told Travis, I said, if God can come on a donkey and he can preach. You remember when the Saul was backslidden? He comes down there among the prophets. What happens to him? You remember he began to prophesy. He got in that anointing, man. And he begins to prophesy. He's in the wrong spirit. He's not even in the right spirit. So I told Travis, I said, when somebody comes in under this anointing that we have on this church. See, I'm not wondering if we're anointed. God has appointed and anointed us. God's highly favored us. God's brought the blessing is on us, like Travis said. We ain't got to try to get the blessing. We're already under the umbrella of the favor and the blessing of the Lord. We just got to walk in it, and I mean think like it, speak like it, act like it, and have it. Hallelujah. I started calling myself healed when I was sick. Amen. God wants me and you to agree with His Word. What does His Word say about our bodies? He says, by His stripes ye were healed. All back under, were, past tense. And somebody said, well, somebody asked me one time, I was believing God for something, and I told him, I said, well, the Bible says in Mark 11, it says, whatsoever things I desire when I pray, believe that I receive it, and I'll have it. And what I was believing for, I believe to be the will of God. That's important. Finding the will of God. Find the will of God about your body. What does it say about you? I don't read the Bible so I can teach y'all. I read the Bible and meditate on the Bible that I walk in what I preach y'all to walk in. Right? Preachers don't get no special grace to walk in the faith of God and the favor of God. That's just like the whole body. They're gifted to minister it. But out here in our life, my life, I have to endeavor to do exactly what I'm telling you to do. Kind of like a guy come up to me one time, and he said, oh, pray for me, he's in a wheelchair. Pray for me. God knows I got a lot of work to do for him. And blah, 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 you know. And I said, you won't get it that way. I said, it's not based on what you got to do for God. I said, you're trying to convince him to heal you where you can get out of that wheelchair and preach. I said, and he's already brought you out of that wheelchair in the spirit realm. You got to believe it and receive it. I said, that's not what gets the favor of God on you. Everything is received through faith. My finances comes because I believe what God says. I'm not a broke man. I wasn't a broke man when I didn't have no money in here. See, faith don't come from here. The head. Faith don't come because you find out knowledge of the no. You got to meditate on the Word day and night to where it goes past your mind that you're renewing with the Word of God down into your spirit, and then that's called revealed knowledge, revelation of that Word. And that Word, that when you begin to walk it out, begins to manifest what the Word says it will. Hallelujah. But he said, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you if you'll hearken to the Lord. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be the fruit. That's your kids. Hallelujah. My son's blessed. I believe we got him because of an answered prayer. Teresa praying, asking God, God, please give me a baby. Oh, Max, she wanted kids. Me and her, we'd probably have 10 or 15. You know, been up to us. We'd have baby after baby after baby, you know. We would have a bunch of them, you know. And so God used Sandy. Sandy's going to church. We're not going to church. Sandy's going to church. She's up there worshiping God, I imagine, and she sees the hell that we lived, the bad stuff that we lived in, and seen it. Sorry. She's seen the things that we brought on ourselves, and she knew, and you know, about your lost loved ones and your neighbors. She knew that if she could get us to Jesus, she knew that our life would turn around. She didn't know how drastically it would, like it does now, but it did. She knew. See, that was that evangelistic heart that God give each one of us. Every one of us has been given the ministry of reconciliation to try to get people to come to Jesus Christ. Because I don't care how good I've been, God done me good by sending me to a millionaire, hooking me up with a millionaire that was lost, that thought that his works would get him to heaven. He had been a good man and helped his family and blah, 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 and had millions. And I'm not exaggerating. I'm talking about millions of dollars. He had done put $1 million in for his kids, each one of them, put $1 million in a separate account for his wife, and still had plenty of money, you know, and really concerned about all that money that he might die. He's going to die and he can't take it with him. All of that. See, I went before a millionaire that God wanted to do Psalms 115 for him. He said, I'll bless those both small and great, no matter where they're at. But God sent me there, and I was challenged because I was buying some land, the 40 acres of land from him. And I was challenged because he told me he's going to die. He said, I'm going to die. And I'd prayed for him one time, and he come out of that sickness, you know, and then he got put in there. But anyhow, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if I go and I preach to him about getting born again, I might not get that land. You know, some people it makes them mad, especially if you don't need nothing. I mean, that man didn't need nothing as far as the natural. He's lived 90-something years and had what he wanted, borrowed $75 his whole life, and a millionaire. Lived right here in Blount County, not too far from here. But anyhow, here he is, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I said, I don't care about the land. See, that's the way you got to be. It might not be the land. It might be you feel shy. You feel like somebody else might qualify to lead somebody to Jesus. I don't care how old they are, nursing home. If they're lost without Jesus Christ, you're there to make sure they do not die and go to hell. Amen. People think that just because they're in the nursing home that every one of them's saved, but they're not. Some of them went their whole life and never met this Jesus Christ that we have. And that's what our life is about, you know, is to go. But anyhow, I went and I presented Jesus Christ. I made it real plain to him and told him straight to his face. I said, don't leave here, this planet, without Jesus. I said, if you're going to be in outer darkness, you're going to be separated. Boy, I mean, I don't know if he got saved or not. I didn't lead him right then, but I'm willing. I'm willing, you know, and lo and behold, I got the land anyways. Praise God, hallelujah. And I thought, God, it wasn't about the land, it was about this man. But you used the land to connect me and you blessed me. He said, I'll cause all these blessings to come on you and overtake you. I didn't even need the 40 acres. I had 16, still got it. But God did it anyway. Why? All these blessings will come on you and over. Well, I'm satisfied where I'm at. Go deeper. You go deeper. You'll get past where it's about you. Once you get past where it's about you, you don't really know what life is. It'll take you into a glorious walk of new doors opening up for you, new glory, deeper. The more that you consecrate to do the will of God in your heart, the more that he will open up avenues that you never thought you would go in. He'll open up doors. I guarantee you, a lot of you here working, I know Mac never thought he'd be working in that food ministry. He's going down the road smoking crack. Is it with the crack, meth, or what? He's down there smoking meth, and here we are up here. You know, why we got to be here at 5 o'clock? Why we got to be here? Lord, can you tell me again? I did it. That was me. But not that I didn't know, but I knew that these people coming through this and getting this food is coming in the presence of Jesus Christ that we have living on the inside of us. And that their lives can be changed. And we've got one here that I can testify, if I did it 15 years and he's the only one that gets born again that I ever know about and gets right with God and walks with God and goes to the nursing homes and sing "I'll Fly Away, Oh Glory" to him or whatever he sings to him. That's worth it all to me. Mac is worth it all to me.
Thank you, brother.
You're welcome. Jesus, I was worth it all. He died for me. I believe if I would have been the only one on this planet that Jesus Christ would have went to that cross for me, Johnny. I believe it. But he's wanting to take us into a higher glory, a higher place. We're not reaching what we're going to reach through Jesus. This ministry is going to take on other avenues in the future, praise the Lord. It's going to expand. It's going to expand out. I'm not going to say because I don't know, but all of these things that I have walked through, the prisons, the jails, the nursing homes, and all of that, the street ministries, and all of that was wonderful. That was God using me all the time and training me how to hear from Him. See, look, out of obedience, Jesus learned obedience by the things that he went through, that he was challenged with, and I'm sure had to lean on God like we do. But the more that I'm willing to sacrifice my life for the Lord, in other words, the business has never run me. My job before I got saved didn't run me when it come to putting itself, trying to separate me from Jesus. I put it on the back burner. I would quit my job. And people are like, well, you can't preach that to people. I'm not telling people what to do. That was my conviction. That was my convincing that Jesus saved me and this is trying to pull me, separate me from the will of God, and I'm going to do something about this. And so when I would begin to pursue and do something about it, here would come God's grace and here would come God's glory, and it would end up better than what I thought it would. He would rearrange things and move. Why? These blessings was coming on me and overtaking me. It says that. Let's go to, give me that Philippians 4, please, Beth. Y'all can read that. Go read them blessings. He said he'll cause the enemies that rise up against you to be smitten before your face. I don't have that right. You don't have to. That's fine. No, don't go there. Give me that Matthew 6. She didn't have that one. I'm on a different page. I got 3 pages. It says, which of you, this is Jesus, red letters, says, which of you by taking thought can add 1 cubit to his stature? Can you? By your thinking, can you grow a little? No. And why take you thought for your clothes? What, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He brought up Solomon. He was the richest man on the planet that ever was and ever will be. And he brings him up here, Jesus does, and starts telling him, consider him, you know, arrayed like one of these. Solomon wasn't blessed as these. Hallelujah. He said, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon's all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is, and cast in them, shall he not much more clothe you? Shall he not take care of you better than the birds? Hallelujah. Now, I've got to admit, you know, when I'm down yonder and I'm really not, I don't know about faith really, and I don't know if faith really works and all of that stuff, you know, and people could tell me, yes, it does, and this and that, but the only thing that convinced me inwardly was the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about convincing me as I meditated on the Word of God. Go ahead, Beth. Take no thought saying. That's important. We got no Christmas for the kids. Thought. Don't say it. Right? I would like to do this, but my body. Thought. Don't say it. Right? What am I supposed to say? I just call things the way they are. The Bible says calling those things that be not. That's contrary. Calling those things that be not as though it were. In other words, you don't take a thought saying, what am I going to do? You don't take a thought, the insurance going to marketplace, right? I mean, they're out there, oh boy, millions are going to lose their insurance, and blah, 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 blah. Oh, and if the Democrats, if the Republicans don't do this and get the incentives, and all these people going to lose their, and I believe God for my insurance back yonder, right? I believe God, and I said, God, I thank you, Lord, that we have insurance. We didn't have no insurance. Insurance would have cost us $3,000 or $4,000 a week to get insurance. I mean, a month. And I kept believing God, and we kept believing. Tracy, she'd be like, we're going to have insurance. God will give us insurance. He'll give us, go around. God will give us. We didn't go around the house saying we can't afford insurance. I'm telling you, them insurance come, blah, 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 blah. No, we believe God for insurance. But even without insurance, I got hooked for a big major bill, $130,000 that God canceled for me. He paid it, hallelujah. And that's why when they call and try to sell me insurance, I tell them I've got insurance from on high. And they're like, which insurance company is that? See, they don't know I have coverage that they don't understand. And I'm not saying that being funny. Right? He said he has his angels watching over me, right? He says he works all things together for my... That's a better policy than money can buy. But God, that heart attack happened and he worked that to my good, period. I mean, he brought... And then we owed and we believed God and we paid all the rest of that off. We refuse to have a bad name, and anything that come to give us a bad name, then we believe God that it would work to our good and it would not cause us to have a bad name. And God came through for us. I'm telling you, all these blessings came on us and began to overtake us. We wasn't working. I didn't get extra garage doors. All of that was not happening. And today, we got insurance. Well, they started saying it's going up. I got a letter, and it says it's going up about $500 a month compared to what, or maybe a little more than that. You know, and my first thing, thought. Right? When something unexpected, something looks like it's messing with your future, you better listen to what I'm telling you. Jesus said, when it happens, take no thought and say it out of your mouth. So I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I believed you for insurance, but God, and I can believe you for increase to keep it. Amen. That's how you go from faith to faith and from glory to glory. Now, you know what? It goes up, but God, I'll keep it. I'll believe God for increase. How many knows this is the way Christians have to live? You know? And the devil's really not involved in that part. There's no devil in there. The insurance went up. I go up on my garage doors all the time. If you don't believe me, buy one this year, wait till next year. And it'll cost you more. You better get it this year. Right? I increase. Things go up, right? I mean, people can praise God. Hallelujah. God's people can praise God when it's $1.99 a gallon. Now, I do admit, I don't pay the price at Bluntsville. I drive up yonder because I fill up and I get 30 cents a gallon cheaper. That's not being lack of faith. That's wisdom. Right? If y'all want my gas filled up down here, get your gas prices like theirs, and then I will come down here and fill everything up. I'll drive Teresa's truck and fill it up for her. That's got nothing to do with a lack of faith. That's got to do, I choose not to pay whatever it is down here because I can get it 30 cents a gallon up there. There's nothing wrong with that. And a good deal, we got some good deal people in here. There's one of them. They're all time saving. Our wives are, a lot of them, all time saving us money, although we didn't need it. Got a high price. But you know what? I can take, when Teresa says something like that, I might be a little funny with it or whatever, you know, and be a little sarcastic with it and everything. But I can take you back down, Johnny, where we couldn't do getting nothing on sale. On sale didn't mean nothing to us. Just give us some money. We don't care if it's on sale or not. Sales didn't mean nothing. And now we can buy what we want when we want. And people can get mad at me if you want to. I do care, but I don't. I'm the one went down there. I'm the one that God said, and I'm coming and sharing it with you and taking my experience. I was thinking about the Apostle Paul. He was convinced about Jesus and being born again and saved in his experience, and he goes telling that King Agrippa about it. Praise God. He wasn't trying to convert that King Agrippa. I'm not trying to get you to believe. I'm telling you what that Bible says, and you take it. And you take it and you say, okay, I'm going to do it, God. I'm going to renew my mind to I am healed. I am blessed. I am strong in you. When I looks like things are going contrary, I'm not going to take a thought saying it's just too bad. It's just, look, we got to live in faith no matter who's in the office. Right? They don't know how to fix this planet. They're doing their best. Most of them probably ain't even got their life together at home. Hallelujah. They just come out there and put it all together and put up a good mask. Hallelujah. But we know one, our life is in His hands, and He knows our future, and He knows how to give us wisdom that this world don't have. The enemy, he sets plans for me according to Deuteronomy 28, and the Bible says that the enemy that comes up against me, that he will cause him to be smitten before me. But God, I believe He's took down all the time for God's people that are walking and trusting God. I believe He's took out. I believe his things are things that he plots and plans against us, this church, and you. I believe they're canceled out, and I believe one day you'll look and you'll see all that God spared you from and stopped in your life because you trust Him that you knew nothing about. I believe that. There's an unseen, you can't see with your eyes, the spiritual realm. Satan's just as real as the Holy Spirit. He's a spirit. That's why you can't whip him in the flesh. That's why he takes advantage of you in fear and doubt and unbelief. He comes on you and he makes things feel worse, look worse, seem worse, and gets you to make choices so you destroy yourself because he don't have the authority. He don't have the ability to make you do nothing. He does not have the ability to make... I mean, you hear God's people a lot the time, and I hear it more and more today because of the way the world is and all of that. You know, Satan's this, and Satan's this, and Satan's this. They're praising Satan more than they praise God. That's terrible. Terrible. I'm not going to do it. If I know it's Satan, I bind him. I take authority over him, and I tell him, just like I tell you. And I mean, I don't have a lot of trouble out of Satan. I already got him under my feet. If he's under my foot, well, then he can't get up and do nothing. Right? Well, I wish I could get him under there. You don't believe. You get that Bible. The Bible says that his heel would crush his head. That means he's under the feet of Jesus. Right? Jesus is in us, right? Well, then he's under our feet if we put him there. Hallelujah. We're not waiting on God to bind Satan for us and stop him from trying to work in our lives. He's already finished it at Calvary and said, now you go in my name. You cast out devils. You take up serpents. If you drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt you. Don't drink poison, but I did eat poison and it didn't kill me. I had shingles bust out on me. I didn't know what it was until I went and let them check it out. It's shingles. And I come against shingles. It lasted about 2.5 days on me. I mean, I know a lot of people, they're months. Big webs and stuff all over them and all of that. One busted in my throat. I couldn't come preach. I thought I had pneumonia. Y'all remember that Sunday I didn't come? I went to that urgent care. And it busted while I was in there. It was nasty. Later I found out, I thought, glory to God, hey, can't nothing manifest in this body. No weapon formed against you will prosper. I used the Isaiah 54:17. No weapons formed, it formed against me, Mac, but it couldn't stay. And I'd heard the testimony of a man that people were dying. They had no cures for it overseas over there. And he went over there. The Lord sent him over there. And they told him, no, you're going to go over there. You're going to get diseases. He told him, he said, put it on me. He said, when it gets on me, it dies. They put it under a microscope and put that on him and it died. And he was praying for people and they were getting raised. That was the hands and feet of Jesus. Me and you are the same down here. We have hope in us to give to people. And if they lay hold of that hope, which is Jesus, then their life will turn around. You know, I was thinking about this today. I was thinking my life didn't turn around overnight. It just didn't. You know, I mean, you know, I didn't know the scripture in there talks about a great ship, you know, and James over there with a little rudder. You know, it takes a while to get that thing turned around, a big barge or something, you know. And he's referring that to our life. Well, it took a while for our life to really start turning around, you know, out of our confession and our conviction towards the Lord and learning how to repent when I said something negative about my life, about my finances, griping and complaining. I preach it now. I try never to gripe and complain about anything at any given time. I'm not saying I'm perfected in it, but when I do it, I repent because I don't want to be like them in the wilderness. Psalm 78 says they limited the Holy One of Israel, turned back in their hearts. They kept going. They didn't get to go to the promised land. They didn't turn around and go back, but in their hearts, they wouldn't believe God. They let their circumstances dictate how they felt and all that. How many knows we've got to come to where we don't live our life by how we feel. Sometimes I don't feel like coming to church. You never see me not come. I'm coming. I don't go by how I feel. I know you do, and I appreciate you by being faithful and you help me to come. Faithfulness, y'all being faithful encourages leaders and members. People that's laying out there tonight because they, whatever their reasons are, and they can come, that's fine. I'm not griping and complaining, you know, but praise God. God sees that. And God says, I will not let you walk in the favor of God. You're going to obey me if you're going to have my stuff. Now see, I mean, I'm not popular by saying that's why we don't go to Pastor Scotty's church. He's always this faithfulness stuff. Well, according to my Bible, I don't have a choice. I don't have a choice in the matter. It's either live or die to me. It's either live in the blessing or I'm going back under the curse. There's two ways to me. And God wants me to be faithful. He said he gives these things to faithful men, to faithful people, to faithful. He gives his promises to you. Look, there's no way I could have given that lady $100 if I'd have stayed down yonder after I got born again and lived in that land. I come out of that land and begin to come into the promises of God, into the promised land. See, the promised land then to them was somewhere where they could have their own houses and their own lands and all of that. Well, the promised land to me today is my body healed and walking in divine health. My promised land, I'm not looking for 100 acres over yonder in California that God's going to send me to over there, then I can have what he said. No, he through Jesus Christ, my promises today are my marriage. I've got a trophy. My marriage today is this ministry. It's still going 24 years. I've got a trophy. My faith has got a manifestation here tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just like you, you know. I mean, I get a phone call, we're not going to make it to church, and you know, and or something like that, you know, And it always tries to discourage me. I don't care how. I mean, I beat myself up, Johnny. I'm like, I'm getting ready for it right before. If it happens, bless God, I'm not going to move a bit. Bless God, and then it happens, and I pick it up. I'm like, Jesus, man. Come on, man. Jesus. Help me, Lord. Yeah, ain't that what we do? We turn to him. We lean on him. God, no matter what I see, how I feel right now, God, that's not going to affect any. See, he's trying to get me to move there so that there's no anointing moves here. He tries to get you to move there, wherever it's at, so that the anointing's not with you in your life. Somebody put a message one time. Teresa did a sermon. The church is a hospital. Oh, terrible. And she said, the church is not a hospital. We're not an emergency center. We're a healing center. See, when sickness comes in here, it is in danger. Because we're not a hospital. We're a healing center. Right? They come to Jesus, they got healed. Right? I know what they mean. That sounds spiritual and all that. So the church is just a hospital. It's not a hospital. No, sir. You come in here, the glory of God's here. You're not going to leave broke. You're not going to leave on the inside. You're not going to leave with poverty thinking. You're going to hear the word of God. He's going to convince you. The Holy Spirit is going to convince you. And you're going. Then that's called revelation revealed to you, praise God. And that's where faith begins. And then you're going to leave with an opportunity to choose to walk in that. You got to choose to walk in it. And then once you walk in it, I went around saying, God told me, he said, I want you to believe for bigger jobs, less work, and more money. And I said, glory to God, got a hold of that. And I started saying that, it happens. It's been happening ever since. Well, I'm not in my, it don't matter about that. It's not got to do nothing to do with where you're at. It's got not absolutely nothing to do with that. It's got to do with hearkening to what God's saying. But if you don't renew your mind, you're going to stay carnal. You're going to think carnal. You're going to think reason. You're going to think there's no way that it can happen. I know that my job, I've worked 40 hours and I get this amount. That's reasoning. There's no way this can happen to you that way. You got to say, glory to God, I'm not strapped to this. I'm not strapped to my disability check. I tell them disabled, you're strapping yourself. They get a disability check. That's all they think they can have. As far as money-wise, they add it up, and there's no way they can afford a new bed sheet. Well, what do you say to them? You tell them you have fixed yourself to that. Now, you fix yourself to this right here because it don't say if you're on Social Security, if you're on disability, if you work a 40-hour job, if you own your own business, if you clean houses or whatever, you know, it don't say that this is all that you can have now. You've lived your life and lived it good and just become, no, you got to believe and say, God, I want to build that church. I want to be the one, God. I want to unlimit you in my life, praise God. And I want to give major chunks to the church. I want to be able to help my neighbor buy groceries. I want to be able to buy her birthday party when she comes in unexpected, her birthday present. When she comes in, I want to be the one, God, that takes the gospel that you said, if I would meditate on your word day and night, that I would make my way prosperous and have good success. Don't ever get satisfied with where you are and you're just settled for being your knees hurting. Right? Your back's hurting. You're 58 years old. You're 65 years old. Don't go down there to Jack's and sit around with all of them testifying of that. They don't mean no ill will. They're in the game there. I went down there one time, sitting there eating breakfast, listening to them farmers and different things. And when I got done, I was discouraged, man. I got up and got out of there. I said, good Lord, this is what I've got to look forward to. And the Lord said, if you say so, take no thought saying that. And so I got in my truck and I began to declare out of my mouth. I didn't feel good on the inside. I started saying out of my mouth, nope, I'm strong. I have an anointing for 40s. I was in my 40s maybe, mid-40s, 50, early 50s, something like that. I have an anointing in my 40s, in my 50s, in my 60s. I have a fresh anointing in my 70s. I'll have it in my 80s and 90s. God, I'm promised 120 years. And your word says in Psalms 91 that you will give me long satisfied. I'm not satisfied weak. I'm not satisfied sick. Now, I've had the nausea for 2 or 3 years every day, just sick in my stomach every day, every morning. For over 2 years, it's nearly gone now. It might have took me a year or so, but you ain't heard me come in here, and I didn't do it out of pride or nothing. Y'all pray for me. Good Lord, I've fought this by myself as long as I can. Now, I found out in the book of Acts years ago, and some were healed as they went. And but God, if I don't receive it right then, I move out and I say, glory to God, it's happening right now. Your word is working mightily in me. I say that every day. Your word, God, that I put in me is working mightily in me. That's what Paul said. He said, Lord, your word is working mightily in me. Well, it was working prosperity in me. You can't break me financially. Satan told me one time, he said, you're going to be tried by that. And I thought, well, right here it's been tested and proven, went through the fire and the blood, and I come out all out, devil, and you ain't going to tell me that it says that he'll bring me to an abundant place and then take it away from me after a few minutes. Well, if he can convince me it's not going to be long-lasting, well, I'll lay down my faith. I'll lay down the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Don't ever lay it down. I don't care, you know, we're not self-sufficient. We're sufficient in Him. Strong, satisfied lives. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give me that Psalms 1. No, give me the 2 Corinthians 4:13. I was going to read that other, but we won't. Take no thought saying. That's the main thing I wanted to point out. This Paul saying this to the Corinthians. He said, we having the same spirit of faith. Right there is where it's at. We having the same spirit of faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4 that faith is the whatsoever is born of God. That's me and you, Mac. Whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It says, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. He said, we have in the same spirit of faith, according to that is written. Right there. I believed, and therefore I have spoken. Paul said, I believed, and I speak it. We also believe, and therefore we what? Speak. See, it starts at the restaurant. When you pull up there and you order your stuff and you're paying $25, they get you spam wrong. They don't cook you your steak just like you like it. You know, they bring out the white butter instead of the yellow. I like the yellow butter. I know I've been there. Man, them, you bring out them advertiser biscuits, and boy, you can just take, they melt in your mouth. I like them. There's butter on top. And then they bring out your regular butter. They bring out some other butter. I usually tell them, man, bring me the yellow butter because I'm going to open it up, put it in there. Boy, I mean, eat it, and then I'm not even hungry the time my steak gets there. But you know what? I had to sit there, and time after time, they forget to bring my butter. Time, and I wanted to start telling Teresa, what's wrong with these God-forsaken women? Every time I go there, they mess my order up. I don't get what I want. Blah, 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 blah. I'm telling you, that restaurant is your test. It is your opportunity to not complain. It is your opportunity not to have your taste buds the way you want them. It is your opportunity to go to another level of faith. It is your opportunity. I know we all have to do it. How many of you in here, they've ever got it just right before you slip your hand up? Not a soul in here. How many of you is griped? I'm going to raise mine first. Griped because they didn't, every one of us. How many still griping? We're working on it, right? See, these are little things, but the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, the small things come in and mess with the vine. They come in and mess with your faith and all of that. Then when you get up here to the big giants, you find you're not as strong as you want to be. Not that you can be defeated, but these little things that we don't realize, you know. I mean, I went to God one time, and I told God, I said, God, I said, I believe because I wasn't saved that I married the devil's daughter. I was talking about Teresa. She's one of the, I wouldn't trade her for nobody on the planet. I just being honest with you. I love my wife. I love my life. And do we have challenges? Absolutely. You know, I try to make things funny sometimes, and it backfires on me, and that's fine too. But I wouldn't, but you know what? I've said it, you know, many times. I've said it to her, you know, you've helped me become a man. That, you know, I mean, she's a good woman. You want somebody to take care of the bills and pay the bills when you want to buy a boat? She's the one you need. I didn't get nothing unless I just got it because I went and done it. She'd be like, put priorities first. Well, I mean, I would be dumb to let the devil talk me out of a diligent woman, a woman that loves God, a woman that seeks God, a woman that loved her son and took care of him, wouldn't let him watch things, Pokemon and stuff like all that. Seems like he lost some of his little childhood. But I'm telling you, it was called protecting him from the enemy, you know. And then comes to the grandkids. She's all time, is that good? Is that good? Is that good? Is this good? Is that good? What's that? When they're on phones and different things, you know. They don't have live phones, but I mean, she's like in there, like the devil's not going to come into their minds. He's not going to work in there. What is she doing? She's found out the Word of God, that you renew your mind to the Word of God. Well, you renew it to secular music. Right? Renew it to the world. Conform it to the world. Just conform it to the world, and then you'll get that life. You'll get them results. You'll get satanic results. There ain't but two ways to go, with God or without God. Walk with God or walk without God. There's two ways. There's not really straddling the fence. It's either I'm going to move forward and I'm going to guard and watch what I speak, hallelujah, or I'm just going to say everything. So restaurant, y'all restaurant test mates, pass it. I went up the other day and I told the lady, I said, look, I said, let me have one of them sausage biscuits. I got out there at the truck and opened it up, and when it was bacon biscuit. I'm telling you, it happened. I thought, oh, no, this is not a test. Thank you, Lord, for this bacon biscuit. Thank you, Lord, for this bacon biscuit. I'm telling you, I did not want a bacon biscuit. I asked for a sausage biscuit. I was not in a mood for bacon. I wanted sausage. And I mean, used to, I would go in there and throw the biscuit over the counter. Are y'all stupid or what? I told you. I mean, I go up every now and then, I put me some mayonnaise and black and salt and a lot of black pepper. And I sat there and watched her the other day, and she didn't put me no black pepper on there. None. And said, "You have a good day." And it made me want to go, boop. "You just ruined it with no black pepper." And I said, "Thank you, ma'am." I said, "You have a blessed day." And I walked out and eat what I didn't want to, because I'm not going to go back down to Lodabar. I'm not going back down to gripe land. I'm not going back down to complain land. I try never to complain about my wife. Now, I probably do sometimes, Travis. He don't tell her. He's a private guy. You know, I do not much gripe about my wife. But you know what? That's my testing ground. I mean, being a wife will make a man, being a husband will make a man out of you. Because you got to learn to love her regardless. You got to learn to realize that she's the weaker vessel physically, but not treat her no different. I mean, you know. And so those things helps you grow and develop. And with your kids. Don't just act like they ought to be grown up, you know, at 14 or 15. They think they're grown, but they're not. They're empty. You know, they're trying to find life. They're trying to find their identity. You know, they're trying to find which way to go, whether they realize it or not. And we're there to live for the Lord and point them toward, like this church does. We point them toward Jesus, you know. Point them toward seeking the Lord and all of that stuff, because that's where it comes in with them when they begin to walk with God and these promises begin to come on them. See, Travis don't struggle like I did about God. Now, he's been rebellious towards God and don't do it and don't listen and blah, 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 blah. And gets miserable and thinks it's Beth and gonna get rid of her so he don't be miserable. See, it's not always the one that's around that you think is making you miserable. See, if you're miserable, then you think Satan will try to get you to think it's everybody else. I ain't getting nothing out of that church. I'm telling you, Brother Scott Eve, I had to get up early and work. I ain't getting nothing out of that service and everything, because I ain't got nothing for you. You looking to the wrong one. You got to come in this house and you looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You're not putting your trust and your life and your strength in no man or no woman. You're putting it in God, and then that gift will begin to work for you, and the same thing you used to couldn't hear and get revelation, you will begin to get it. Because what a lot of folk don't realize is those ministers are living by faith. They're living their life by faith, doing the will of God, just like they're teaching the body to do the will of God. Try to do your best to do the will of God. So I want to encourage you, go around calling yourself favored. Go around calling yourself, "The blessing is coming on me. It's going to overtake me." My son, I mean, Travis is living in my faith that I believed all these years that God would take him higher than me. God, I'm talking about in finances and different things, you know, at his age. Hallelujah. And I believed for increase that I would be a major blessing to everybody that I come in contact with. And my job puts me in that place of ability to do that. And yours will too. Multiplication is not like, you know, getting your own business and you can't bless nobody. That's not so. He said he gives seed to the sower and multiplies it. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you. And Lord, with your help, Father God, we will